Welcome everybody, it's Chris the juggler, and we're continuing with thoughts on juggling, but this time it's going to be a little bit different. Some of you who might already know the series know it's sort of a podcast about juggling, but most of the time, pretty much all the time, it was just me talking about topics that I found interesting or topics that those of you who followed the podcast were suggesting in the comments for me to talk about. So this time it's going to be different. And my friends and I, we decided to turn it into sort of an interview show. And for the first episode, I've invited one of my dear friends, whose name is Patrick Opacic. And here he is. Welcome to the show. Take a seat. So welcome.
Welcome.
How do you feel about being part of the show for the first time?
Really good. I'm a bit nervous about my English, but I think
I think you'll do fine. I think you do fine. This is actually the first time that we're recording this with more than one person. Also the first time we're doing it live. Mm-hmm. In front of a real audience. So shout out to our audience. So the first thing I would like to know is, before we even get started with the more general facts about you and your life, is could you set right now one goal for yourself for this next year, what you want to achieve in juggling and or anything else really?
I think one of my goals is definitely a good follow shuffle and for Diabolos, and a good transition between follow and for high. I think that's one of my biggest goals in general.
So as you might have noticed, he's not only a juggler, you do juggle as well, but you're also a diabolist? Mm-hmm. Tell me, how did this start? When did you first get in touch with juggling? When did you first start to juggle or to do Diabolo? What was that?
That's a really funny story, because there's kind of a festival in my hometown. And there was a shop, and I was always with my mother, and I was going on her nerves, and she said, "Oh boy, let's juggle," and she gave me the Diabolo and said, "Don't disturb me."
Oh, really? To keep you occupied?
Yeah.
The entire time.
Yes, like this, I started playing Diabolo, and I really enjoyed it, but I fell in love with it like I'm now, so I'm more like standing at the side of the street and trying a bit and throwing the Diabolo.
How old were you when that happened?
6 years old.
Okay. And now you are
18.
Okay.
Yes. My friend Leonard, he taught me the Diabolo, and I was really fascinated because he could do tricks like roll the Diabolo on the fingertips and stuff, and I was really surprised that this actually worked, and then I was so into it that I really want to know what it's possible with the Diabolo.
What kind of props did you first use when you started doing the Diabolo?
Oh, I think it was a little Harlequin Diabolo from Mr. Babash, I think so, but it was really small, and I don't know if it's on the market right now.
What was really the difference when you started doing Diabolo versus when you started to juggle? Was Diabolo easier at first, or were you more motivated to do that versus juggling, or did you really not have any exposure to juggling?
I think it's kind of a different feeling because I started with Diabolo, but I really recognized the difference between Diabolo and juggling years later, because now I can say that maybe it's really easy to get started with the Diabolo, but to get some tricks that look really cool or develop some harder skills took much time. So there was a part in my life where I said, "Oh, Diabolo is really bullshit, and I really want to stop playing Diabolo because I couldn't get the third Diabolo in my string, and this really fucked me up."
Oh, really?
Yes. So I thought in one summer, I really want to get on with my juggling, and then I started learning ball juggling and of course five balls and with club some tricks. And
so when Diabolo got a little bit too hard, when you hit that first threshold, so to say,
so
you started
I,
doing juggling also.
Yes.
Could you maybe give us a quick rundown of when you achieved like different goals in doing mm-hmm. Diabolo? Mm-hmm. When did you start with one and then two and then three? How long did it mm-hmm. take to say do two mm-hmm. from one?
Two was very fast, so I don't actually know how long it took me to get two Diabolos solid or tricks with two Diabolos and one Diabolo, but I can say that there was kind of I think two or three years where I didn't took Diabolo that serious, and I practiced it much but not really intense, and then I learned like the basics.
So you went back after and started doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. How does juggling compare with doing Diabolo? Because as a juggler myself, mm-hmm. It's really hard sometimes to compare tricks mm-hmm. when a Diabolist does a trick and then when a mm-hmm. juggler does a trick. So would you say you do three Diabolos, mm-hmm. what would that be in juggling? Or can't you really compare them?
Many people would say that three Diabolos is kind of that difficult, like five clubs. But I would say that there isn't any comparison, because three Diabolos, or Diabolo in general, and juggling are two different kind of worlds. Because in juggling, the feeling is completely different. I would say that, that's when my friends say that it's a little bit funny when I talk about that. But it's kind of, you really have to feel the string. And I think the difference is when you throw a club or a ball, it smashes into the hand, and then you grab it and you catch it. And the hand in the Diabolo playing is the string. So you have to develop a kind of feeling or a sense in your hand before
it's
you
totally
really...
a totally different feel mm-hmm. doing Diabolo.
Yes, because you can now you feel your hand and you get comfortable with it. But in Diabolo, you kind of have to learn that your string is what it is in juggling your hand.
When did you decide to go? When did you decide to go on stage to start performing or to do your first? You were saying that as a mm-hmm. little child, you were doing it like on the side, by the street, doing Diabolo a little bit. But mm-hmm. when did you first go on stage? Did you do it with friends or did you do mm-hmm. it on your own? And how has that developed over the years mm-hmm. Up until now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, besides Diabolo, also kind of other passion developed. I was really into theater, and I get known with the stage and the feeling with the audience.
Back in school or?
No, in a theater in my hometown. Oh. And I really enjoyed it, and I founded my own little group when I was about 12 years old, and there was me and a little drummer, and our group is still existing, Ridiculous Artifacts, if you want to check it out. And we were about 12 years old, and I was like a little stand-up juggler.
Oh,
yes.
Juggler and comedian.
Yeah, yeah. And then we were doing a 40-minute show.
The two of you?
Yes, and in this festival, and I was speaking and doing jokes while juggling. And I was not really good at juggling, but I had really this kind of passion and wanted to do the tricks.
You wanted to put something on stage that mm-hmm. wasn't just the juggling, but
yes.
That was about
mm-hmm.
how do I express myself in front of people, and how do I create an act?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I think it was not that kind of feeling when I was 12. I think it developed over the years, but when I was 12, I had only fun to entertain people and see they laugh while I'm juggling. And so that developed kind of parallel. I don't know if...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would you say that when you did theater, mm-hmm. that was really the starting point for... performing,
mm-hmm.
That passion was the starting point.
Yes, but I think there is also another date we could mention that was really crucial for my life. So it was, I know it exactly, it was the 12th of, I don't know if, the 12th of March in, I think, 2016 or something. And there I met a really good friend of mine, his name is Lars. I think he's sitting
here today.
Over there, yeah.
Woo!
Yes, and he was a magician in the beginning, and we met and had this kind of collaboration because I thought his magic was incredible, and I think he was very impressed by the juggling. So we wanted to put these things together and create something never seen, maybe. And we met and developed a really good friendship, and also we developed the group. I founded with 12 years old, and now we are 18, and the group is still existing. And we are doing also this kind of shows with juggling, a bit better than when we were 12, and a bit of comedy and theater.
Okay, what kind of when do you normally perform? Mm-hmm. Do you do the you were talking about a street arts festival mm-hmm. That is taking place somewhere around here mm-hmm. that you not only attended but you founded mm-hmm. where you perform, but are there other occasions where mm-hmm. you get to do your shows?
Yes, we were there were of course many kind of juggling festivals where we try something, but this is also very nerve-wracking for us because they are all jugglers in the audience, and
which I remember from last year, I think mm-hmm. you did the open stage one day.
Yes,
one mm-hmm. day of the week at EJC, if mm-hmm. I'm right, in mm-hmm. England.
Yes,
how was that, preparing for that and then being on stage? Mm-hmm. And even though it's an open stage, so not a gala show, mm-hmm. there were still hundreds of people watching mm-hmm. in the small tent. And how did mm-hmm. that feel?
So the story about our EJC open stage is really about the story about our act. It's called Friendship, and it was really special for us because it was the first try of mixing theater and juggling in one act. So we called it theater juggling, and we had kind of a conflict between someone who really juggles for love and someone who juggles for the money. And now we both were fighting who was right or wrong, and
that was the idea of the act.
Yes,
to discuss that
mm-hmm. Yes.
conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and our juggling was our way of expression. So when we are saying something, the juggling is fitting to our words. And this was the first try, so for our nerves, really, it was a blast. So, but I think it worked really well, and it was kind of a new way for us to...
like a new kind of concept for a show. You'd never done like a mm-hmm. deeply emotional concept like that before, maybe?
I think we never took our juggling and took it in another context.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but that was the first time you'd performed that routine in front of people?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. You've done that before?
Yes.
Okay.
We have done the NK in the Netherlands.
But the same routine?
Yeah, I think the idea was the same, but it developed over the year. And then was the Eichthal Juggling Convention, then we did it there as well. And then at the EJC, and afterwards in Tübingen.
Okay. On the topic of friendship, mm-hmm. How important it, like, if you were by yourself the entire time, would you still be able to keep it going and keep juggling, keep just going to practice? Mm-hmm. I don't know, how much do you practice mm-hmm. currently or mm-hmm. normally?
I think that's a really good question.
And then Diabolo versus mm-hmm. juggling.
Yes. First of all, the kind of community in juggling, I think it really motivated me, because I think if I never saw a Diabolo player playing three Diabolos on a convention, I would never practice on myself.
You still remember who that first person was mm-hmm. that you saw do three Diabolos?
Yes, I think it was in 2014.
Oh, that late?
Yes, 2014 in Pinzgau. It was Sebastian Haushofer.
From Austria?
Yes, and I was really impressed. And it was really like, oh my God, I didn't believe that this was actually possible.
Back then, were three Diabolos common for someone to do, or?
No, it was, I think, really incredible. So now it's common that people do four, and some people are doing five. But I think three in back then were really incredible.
How many of your, let's say, friends are members of the juggling community, or people that juggle or do circus or art? Are these like your main group of friends, or are there a lot of other people from school that you're still in contact with, that you still keep in touch with, that are not juggling?
I think we are like a little group of five people in my hometown, and we are all juggling, but I think it developed over the years. I think we are doing much more bullshit than juggling, so
okay.
But we have a really, really strong...
When that started out, were there people that you introduced to juggling, and then they started like a couple years later and after you, and then now everybody's juggling, but it didn't start out that way, or were they all sort of in the community?
Yes, I think so. So I am told that I learned Diablo from Leonard, and I was, I think, also the person who maybe showed him what someone can do with the Diablo. So maybe I motivated him also to catch up with Diablo or juggling. And I think I was so enthusiastic about juggling and the skill set somebody could achieve. And I was really like, oh my God, look at this. And this is so amazing. And I think I motivated a few people. And so our friendship developed.
Which we're going to talk about teaching in a minute. The only, the last thing I would like to know about you yourself and the way you practice, in which you practice, was there one trick that was like a major breakthrough in your Diablo career that you're still like, that was the, when you think about that, you're still like, oh, that was the one trick that took ages and I was working on really hard, like say the three Diablos low, mm-hmm. keeping that going. Was there some trick like that where you really have to put in a lot of time and you're not used to like tricks that are that hard, and then after you do it, you're like, wow, I did achieve this, and now I feel like I can achieve anything if I just practice?
Yes, I think there were this kind of tricks, but I think there were not this three Diablos or four Diablos. So maybe the thing with four Diablos is that many people are trying it for years and it doesn't work. But for myself, I think it was kind of luck, or I don't know, but I really got the feeling really quick, and I think I needed 1.5 years. I think that's pretty fast. So for me, wasn't it the four Diablo or the three Diablo? I have a trick where I throw the Diablo around my body like this.
Right.
So the Diablo
and then
goes
over the back.
Yes,
back over the back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This trick I tried with two Diablos, and this took me really long, and I really have to practice it every day to get it the way I wanted it to be.
One thing I find really interesting when you ask different people and you sort of start conversations in groups, ask this juggler, ask that juggler. Everybody's going to sort of say something different, because the question is always, that I'm interested in, is always, how do you structure your practice? Do you just go to the gym, grab four clubs, do some four clubs, and then grab six balls? Or do you really start with like one ball, two balls, and then you work your way up and never go back to the previous number? And I guess in Diablo you could do something similar. What kind of practice structure, like, do you structure in a practiced way, or do you prefer the to be a little bit more, to be able to do whatever you want to do? And what is your mindset that comes with that? Because I could also imagine that being more free in how you approach going to practice, practicing, working on your different moves you're trying to achieve, I could imagine that also motivates you. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that makes you stick with it, it doesn't necessarily have to be structured in any way. I've also talked to people who've gotten really good, but they don't structure their practice, mm-hmm. which I could never like not structure my practice, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't know what to work on, mm-hmm. right?
I think I also structured my practice. I had a little book where I wrote my tricks down, and
notebook.
Mm-hmm, yes, and in the part of my life where I practiced 3 to 5 hours a day, I really before I start to practice, I wrote every trick I would practice, and I tick the trick if I had done.
Check the little boxes every time you managed to do the trick.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About teaching, do you like giving workshops or teaching juggling to other people? Mm-hmm. Is that something you might see yourself doing in future years, in the future, in the years to come?
I really like it, and I think the thing I like the most about giving workshops is that when you see a little kid who started to throw some balls in the air, you can really see the joy in the eyes, and this is really beautiful. So there's a story where we had a performance in a thing called rehab. It was kind of I don't know it in English. Messe.
Oh, I don't know that either.
Kind of a festival for people with disabilities who can share like modern ways to live with a disability.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there, my mother works.
Like a convention almost, sort of?
I don't think so, but I don't know the English term for that. So my mother works with people with disability, so we had the opportunity to join this kind of festival, and we juggled there, and there were many kids who couldn't move at all, and also the mothers were like, you shouldn't show some juggling to our kids because
they just make them sad. Mm-hmm,
yeah, and they couldn't actually
comprehend.
See what's going on and stuff. But it was really incredible for me because we juggled there and we could see in the eyes the joy, even if the kids couldn't move at all. And also there were some kids who could throw a ball to us, but really that was the highest thing they could do. And this little thing that they could throw the ball into our juggling makes them that happy, and makes them see that there is such a high value in their living or this kind of stuff. And this really was overwhelming because it was actually bigger than our juggling.
So it's sort of magical.
Yes.
Which is, and it's not really possible to explain it if you haven't seen that, I guess, right? You really have to. Mm-hmm. You really have to teach somebody in order to be able and see them succeed in order to be able to understand the joy. Mm-hmm. Could you see yourself like building a career from that in the future, or teaching juggling, performing? Mm-hmm. Is that something you want to? Like you were saying, your group still exists. Mm-hmm. You're still going strong. You're still performing. Mm-hmm. So is that something you can see yourself doing in the future, mm-hmm. as like a job, or is that just an option? Just one option out of many?
That's a really good question. I think I can see myself in this kind of future, but I don't actually know if that's the way I'm kind of performing or giving workshops. I really like what I do, and I'm really passionate about juggling. And I'm really happy to be part of this community. But I don't know my path exactly, and I think it will be really interesting if in a few years I'll hear this again, and then maybe I'm a bit more clever than today.
So we're going to wrap this up now. And I have one last question. And the question is about three people. Like, give me the names of three people that have really motivated you. Say, three famous diabolists whose YouTube videos you've watched over the years. Or maybe just one person who you'd really like to give a shout-out to, or who you'd like to talk about, how that person changed the Diabolo game, or something you'd never thought was possible, but then it actually you saw it on video, and then you met that person in real life, and it was overwhelming, like you were saying before, like that magical feeling. Maybe there was one person who did that to you.
So when I was 14, I was really into Diabolo, and I really wanted to be part of the community, but I was the only Diabolo player in my age. So there was no one fighting with me or practicing with me. So I always wanted to be one of the big Diablo player, but I was only a little child. So I was really happy when they took me, and I was I felt like I was part of the community. So I am in Stuttgart. There's a Diablo player called Kevin, and I was really happy when I could meet him and practice with him, because it was really incredible for me to see that something like three Diablos is possible, and that he could throw really crazy things with this.
Okay, so meeting a person that shows you what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that, I guess you have to see something to know that it's possible and then to be motivated, right? Because a lot of people, they don't really get any input. So you would say that input is definitely important.
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
But I guess you also did watch a lot of YouTube or videos on social media that also motivated you. Is that right?
Yes. So I was really the kind of child who sat in front of his
YouTube.
Laptop and, yes, watching YouTube. And there were really big YouTube videos like Black Sheep from Robert Spinelli. And there were some others like Intermezzo from Etienne.
Who's the best diabolist today?
Oh, that's a really good question. I hope I I don't say something wrong. But I think this question is really difficult to answer, because there are such different ways of playing Diablo, because every Diablo player has a different focus on his own expression in the Diablo, his own style in the Diablo. So I think we couldn't answer this question exactly. But I was hearing the laugh in the background. But I think technically the best Diablo player, when we say as much tricks and
as many Diablos,
is Penzen. He's really great, and I think every Diablo player is overwhelmed when he sees his routine in at the EJC.
Who did the battle last year and won?
Yes.
Doing the five Diablos around the leg and then caught them all.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Maybe we can do this again sometime. And we're also going to bring on another person today for another episode.
Thank you very much.